Merry Christmas, my friends. I don't know if you've opened your Christmas gifts yet or not, but I do know one thing. I know you have at least one person on your Christmas list that is incredibly difficult to shop for. You know, that one that maybe they're kind of picky, they're kind of specific, and it's really challenging to find just that perfect gift that they would appreciate. Or that one that never seems to give you a Christmas wish list because it appears that they already have everything that they need. But can you imagine trying to pick out a gift for God? You know, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. How exactly would you go about picking out an appropriate gift for Him? Paul was talking to a group of people, and he noted that same thing. He said, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." We have looked at this Advent series that we called Bethlehem is Proof. We noted that 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that little village was named specifically as the birthplace. And not only does Micah tell us that that's where Jesus is going to be born, but he tells us about the roles that he is going to fulfill. We've seen Jesus in Micah chapter 5 coming as our great shepherd, as our Prince of Peace, as our mighty deliverer, and as our triumphant King. You know, really that idea of King kind of sums up everything else, because a good King provides for the people under his care just like a shepherd would. A good King makes sure that there is peace for his people. A good King makes sure that he delivers his people from all of the foes that would be coming after them. And that's really what the Magi from the East, when they came to Jerusalem, they were looking for the King. Look what Matthew records for us in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the East came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the East and have come to worship him." Now that's interesting. They said that they're coming to a king, but they didn't come to say that they were revering him or honoring him. They specifically says we have come to worship him. And indeed, once they show up at the house, look what happens here. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now listen to this. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Again, recognizing him not only as king, but as God as well. And then they brought gifts. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. So they come to this king, but they come recognizing that he is God, and they come with gifts. Now, people have talked about these gifts of gold that would acknowledge Jesus as the king. That was a gift fit for the king. This gift of incense, or frankincense, as it says in some translations, would be acknowledging Jesus as the high priest, the priest that carried incense into the temple, into the holy place of the temple for worship. And then also myrrh. Myrrh was what was used to anoint people's bodies to prepare them for burial. And so when they bring myrrh, they're acknowledging that Jesus is going to be the perfect sacrifice that is going to be given for all of our sins. The king, the priest, and the sacrifice. Those are the gifts that they brought. But you know, when you bring a gift to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you don't bring a gift because you're saying, "I think that you need something. I think that I need to help support you financially, and so that's why I brought this gift." You don't bring a gift and say, "Hey, this is a little bribe. This is a little, I want you to just think fondly of me, so then later on maybe you'll give me a special dispensation of grace to kind of sneak by something." None of those motives of giving gifts would honor the king, any king, to say, "I'm trying to prop you up," because then it's saying you don't really have everything that you need, or "I'm trying to give you a bribe because then you're really saying that this king can wink at some wrongdoing. That's not why these gifts were given. But instead, I like, again, it says twice, we have come to worship him. When they came into the house, they bowed down and they worshiped him. I like the old English spelling, the original spelling of the word worship. Check this out. It was actually spelled this way, worth-ship. Worth-ship. In other words, you're acknowledging the worth of the person to whom you're giving the gift. They were giving something precious to acknowledge how worthwhile he was. Now, when they're giving these gifts, they're not only honoring Jesus who was born there in Bethlehem, his first advent, but there's also a foreshadowing, there's a foretaste of his second advent, his second coming, when not just magi from the east and shepherds from the fields nearby are going to come and worship, but when everybody, all creation, is going to bow their knee and acknowledge that Jesus is the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isaiah prophesied much the same thing. Listen to what he wrote in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and from Sheba will come, listen to this, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Now, the translation that I'm reading out of, the NIV, and many other translations do this, where the word Lord is there, it's in all capital letters to tell us that the in the original language, that was that word Yahweh. Yahweh, the I am, the all-sufficient one. So like we said, that he is the king. He is the great shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the mighty deliverer. He is everything that we need. And so again, we ask the question, so how do we give an appropriate gift to honor this king who needs nothing from us? And yet when people show up, whether it was wise men or all these people that, as Isaiah is looking forward to the second advent, they're all coming bringing these gifts. So apparently a gift has to come. You know, Micah, we've been looking at Micah chapter 5, this birthplace of Jesus and his titles. But in the very next chapter, Micah himself asks the same questions. Listen to what he says. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But then he says, oh, wait a minute. God has showed you, O man, what is good. He's already showed you. He's already told you the gift that he wants. Here's what Micah says in verse number 8. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That idea of loving justice there is to live righteously, to live according to the standards that God has given us in his word. This idea of mercy. Mercy means not getting the penalty of my sin. You notice how earlier on Micah said, so what should I bring for my transgression? Should I even bring my firstborn child to be able to do that? What mercy says is that you don't get the penalty for your sin. Why? Because the penalty for your sin and my sin fell on Jesus. That's why the gift of the myrrh was given, to tell about his sacrificial death on our behalf. So we love mercy. We don't want the penalty to fall on us. We don't want it to fall on our friends and loved ones. We acknowledge it fell on Jesus, and we worship him. We give him worth for that. And then also, he says here, to walk humbly before God, to recognize it's not what I did. I didn't bribe God to give this to me. I didn't give him such a good gift that he said, oh, you know, you're special in my list, and so I'll give this to you. No, it's to walk humbly before God, to recognize that I was a sinner. There was nothing in myself that would allow me to come into God's presence except for the work that Jesus did for me as my king, as my priest, and as my sacrifice. So when we come to the end of the year, I know a lot of times people will use this as a time of reflection, as a time of looking back over the year, and then maybe even making some goals for the upcoming year. And friends, I can think of no better place than to go to this Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and to ask ourselves, to sit down and say, could I say that this year that I walked more in alignment with God's word? Was there that justice in my life? Could I say this year that I grew in my understanding of mercy? Could I say this year that I walked more humbly? And whether I can say that I did this previous year or not, I can certainly make that my prayer for the upcoming year. I can pray and say, Lord, may we all be able to pray like this, that we've honored you as our awesome King, by bowing to your lordship over our life, by being more consistent in this year. And Holy Spirit, help me in this upcoming year that I can do that even greater. Friends, that is the gift that our King wants to receive from us, that we say, I'm going to walk according to the standards of your word. I'm going to love the mercy that you've extended to me, and I'm going to walk humbly before you. Friends, not only does that honor God as our King, but it attracts others to this King as well, which also honors God as our King. Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the gift that we can give. Every single one of us, that's the gift that will honor our King. I pray that you'll do that this year. God bless you, friends. Merry Christmas.